Hello, airport industry folks. Welcome to the AX Insider podcast, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Andy Telejohn, the senior writer at Airport Experience News. This podcast will be part of our 20 years, 20 voices series celebrating the upcoming 20th AX conference. During these calls, we're talking with industry veterans who've overseen the evolution of the airport and specifically the concessions and customer experience over the last two decades and change. And today we're talking with Candace McGraw, who's been the CEO of the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport since 2011. Candace was, of course, AXN's Medium Division Director of the Year in 2019. Candace, thank you for taking some time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy. Happy to talk to you and your airport peeps.
I very much appreciate it. It's great catching up with you again. I was doing some looking through your resume and the story we worked on with that Director of the Year award a couple of years ago. As I recall, you hadn't really planned on working in airports when you kicked off your career. Kind of came together after, I think it was law school, and then you moved into the city of Cleveland. What happened that changed the direction and got you into airports?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, my familiarity with airports was just a place to go, get on your plane and head off for your journey, and never thought about kind of the fascinating business aspect of it. So you're right. Right out of law school, I had a real passion for public service. And I wanted to do something community related. And so I took a job with the city of Cleveland. And in Cleveland, the airport is a municipally run airport. So in amongst my various duties, I became the second chair lawyer for the airport. Shortly after working there, I became the lead attorney for the airport and really loved the work. I loved the community aspect of providing great economic benefit through the airport, but then also realized what an interesting business airports are. Fascinating, right? As you well know, and all of the listeners know, like running a small city. And so for me, it became the perfect blend, and it was a great career choice.
Okay. Now you're talking at that point, correct me if I'm wrong, late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, sure. I'll date myself. I was a law clerk in Cleveland in 88 and took a full-time job with the law department in 88 and moved out to the airport as the then manager of properties, handling all the leasing and concessions. And that was 1990 when I joined the Cleveland Airport team as a manager level.
Okay. And that was at a time when maybe the evolution toward what we see today had started a little bit, but you called it an exciting place to work. And this is back in a time when the concessions weren't nearly what they are now. I recall from our previous discussions, one of your goals is to make CVG an unforgettably positive experience. Could you contrast a little bit what that goal is like now versus back when you were getting started in the industry, passenger experience wise and concessions offering wise?
Super interesting. And I don't know if it's the evolution of the industry or just my maturation and a better understanding of the business, right? I Sure. think at the time, there wasn't as much emphasis on customer service. So much now, there's so much now, right, where people want a bespoke experience and they want certain amenities and certain things that just weren't even considered back then. It was really just about getting people through, having them stop and get a cup of coffee, buy a newspaper, maybe pick up, a t-shirt or a tchotchke, right, and getting them off. And there wasn't the focus on making sure that you brought in locally sourced products, right, that you had a great experience relative to artwork, that you didn't have that, you know, what were the restaurants that were the, you know, the places to eat at downtown, you didn't even think about making sure they showed up locally at your airport, right? Again, so I think evolution of the industry, and then also evolution in leadership, recognizing that, you know, your airports have to reflect your community.
It's interesting that it popped into my head that, you know, at the time when the customer experience wasn't as big a thing as it is now, at the time, people used to get excited about getting on an airplane. And these days, you hear as much as people get excited about flying, you're not just as likely, but the occasional story of somebody getting dragged across a row of seats to get taken off an overbooked plane. So the airlines have sort of ceded that customer experience piece to the airports. The airports have now become kind of the place to go and have an interesting experience while you travel.
Oh no, 100% right. You know, a million years ago when I started, right, and you first started traveling, you know, planes were never full. You always had some room to spread out. There were, you know, seemingly more flights that were at better convenient times, you know, and so the travel part of the journey was certainly, you know, seemed to be easier and nicer. But now I think, you know, airports, well, I think it's also an understanding the airports, at least in our case, we're not going to rely on our airline partners or other folks to carry our water, right? Like the passengers are our passengers, and we take hold of that and ownership of it. And we recognize that wherever there may be a glitch in the system, be it, you know, in parking, which, you know, we also don't operate directly here, or if there's a glitch in the concessions or on your air service, none of it matters. It all reflects on the airport. So it's really up to the airport to work to make sure we have the best sort of seamless journey that we can, and work with all our partners to make that happen from a customer service standpoint.
Sure, sure. Now, when you got to Cincinnati, my recollection is you got to Cincinnati in 2009, became the director in 2011. You were going through some pretty tough challenges as far as reshaping what the airport even looked like. With a de-hubbing from Delta specifically, and so that was a challenge. But you pretty much looked at that as an opportunity as well, as I recall. What did that allow you to do in terms of kind of putting your stamp and reshaping what the airport offered, and how does that fit into the customer experience of today that we're kind of talking about?
No, you're right. And I have to remember, as we chat here, you take really good notes and they last forever. So so when I came here, right, in Delta, so CVG had already gone through a pretty precipitous de-hubbing effort. At the time, back in the day, we had about 20, 22 million passengers. When I took over, I think we had about 3 million passengers. Wow. But what I saw in that was the ability to rebuild. We had a lot of good assets here. We had great people. We had a community will that wanted to help the airport succeed. So it was a matter of how do you put all those blocks together in the right way to then grow your passenger base? You know, when you dig in and looked at the numbers at the time, right, the 20, 22 million passengers, you know, 90% of those were connecting passengers. Right. So the key for us was, how do we serve our friends and families and neighbors? Those at the time, 3 million. Well, it was only 3 million because we had so much leakage. Right. Delta is a great carrier. They you know, and I still have a very good rapport with them. They made a business decision. So I wasn't going to chastise them or bemoan the fact that they made what was the right business decision for them. But I had to say, we were still the highest airfare airport in the country. Our costs were super reasonable, right? But the airfares were so high because there wasn't any competition. So first order of business was getting some competition in here, giving passengers a reason to stay and fly from the airport here that was in their backyard, right? That was here. We were losing passengers to, you know, we have five airports. I call them the Ring of Fire around us, all within a 2-hour drive. Right. We had to give them a reason to stay here or to come here. So, of course, that was based on fare, right, and carrier diversity. It's also based on a great level of customer service. People needed to know they had a place to park, good concessions in which to eat if they wanted to buy something, right, that they had the retail experience. And it was really, to me, an opportunity to rebuild a business in a way that made better sense in a longer, sustainable manner. That was going to serve our friends and neighbors, right? Because now these are people around us. So we knew who those customers were. So it was a matter of how do we connect with them and how do we talk with them to give them what they need and want.
Yes, let's talk about that a little bit more. We're talking with Candace McGraw, the CEO of Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. What have you gotten the passenger numbers back up to? And you mentioned great community will a minute ago. How has that changed over the last, I guess since 2009, that'd be 13, 14 years. Clearly people have responded to the changes that you've made. How has the community will and the community involvement changed over the years?
So I have to say, I love this community. It's an interesting community, right? Because we sit on the border of Ohio and Kentucky. Which can sometimes be a challenge, or people viewed it as a challenge, right? Because sometimes they're not Ohio enough or not Kentucky enough. Again, I view that as an opportunity, right? I say, like, we have a foot on both sides of the river. We have, you know, almost 17,000 people that are badged to work here on campus. I have 480 direct employees. What we talk about is economic development and what we do and how we can grow that economic development and provide jobs. And you know, our team and I talk, you know, our job, like on the outside appearance, is maybe moving people or boxes, people or goods, right? No, what I say, what we're about is putting roofs over people's head and braces on kids' teeth. It's about growing economic development for our, again, our neighbors and friends, finding jobs for them. So the community has responded marvelously, right? Which is evidenced in so many ways about coming together, like specifically helping us most recently on a great air service announcement when we secured British Airways. We were their only route in the US, I think, and North America that they announced and started in 2023, right? And that was through a community effort to recognize the importance of the airport for both leisure and business travel.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. There's definitely you've gotten some great response. You mentioned moving boxes, and that reminds me, you've grown not only around the passenger side, but the cargo side of things has become a pretty big or even bigger deal. What can you say about the way that's evolved?
Well, so we are the global super hub for DHL for the Americas. So we are their number two largest operation in the world. And I can't say enough good things about the leadership and operation of DHL. Such a great business. You know, and they support thousands of jobs on this campus. So that they continue to grow. Amazon, we are the largest. We're called their mega hub. They began here in 2017, operating with DHL in a very odd way. We can talk about it if you like, but they opened their own facility here in 2020. They cleared 650 acres for the first phase. They have about 35 aircraft based here. When they're finished with this initial phase, they can have probably about 100 aircraft on the ground here. Then they have another 450 acres they can develop in the future. Again, great tenant. What this does, and they have thousands of employees who work here on a daily basis. We've been able over the last 5 years to grow our cargo growth about 150%. We've been the fastest growing cargo airport in the world for the last few years. So it's been an amazing part of the business.
And let's spin that forward a little bit. What does that mean? What does that kind of business in the cargo area allow you to do or mean for the passenger game and the passenger experience, terminal experience, et cetera?
Sure. So, you know, the interrelationship between the two is that with all those cargo airplanes landing, it keeps our landing fee down, right? So one, jobs, of course, right? But the way it intersects with the passenger experience is it keeps the landing fees low. So as I'm out there trying to recruit carriers or talk to them about the cost of operations here, because of those cargo carriers, our airfield is extremely low cost to operate. So as I'm competing with the Ring of Fire and I try to tell folks, hey, fly here versus another airport, that's a good piece of the business that's only going to continue to grow and operate. So you know we're sustainable and predictable into the future. And also all those employees that work for those entities now want to travel, and this is their base of operation. And we've gone from, you know, when I started here, we did our first economic impact study in 2012, and that was a $3.4 billion annual economic impact. In 2018, it had grown to $6.8 billion, right? And we're soon to come out with new numbers, which will even be bigger. And so having those, even just those people here working, traveling helps.
Probably the low landing fees didn't hurt in your efforts to get a British Airways to.
It didn't hurt at all. It was so helpful. And the other thing was super helpful. And I know DHL, I'm not telling any trade secrets, also participated in the deal and worked with British Airways to secure a certain amount of cargo space on that flight and guarantee it. Again, it's just the synergy of all the pieces of the airport coming together.
Makes some sense. This is Candace McGraw, the CEO at CVG, Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International. You've been a leader industry-wide, not only in Cincinnati, but with groups like ACI. How does your experience at CVG, I guess, mirror, industry-wide? I mean, you talk to a lot of peers. You've been, I believe, the chair of ACI and involved in ACI World. Is what's going on in Cincinnati right now from an experience perspective, from a concessions perspective, pretty much mirror what the industry looks like nationwide?
I would say yes, right? I think the beauty of participating in trade associations is having a lens into what's going on with your colleagues. I think the beauty of participating in ACI worldwide is right now the aperture's grown and I can see what's happening globally in trends. And I would say yes, right? Retail is an interesting animal right now, particularly in airports. I mean, it is on your main street. It is in airports. So I think we talk a lot about that. Food. If you are a food purveyor, one of your food concessionaires, your business is good. People love to eat and drink. The retailers, it's an interesting animal to consider, like in this e-commerce world. And so I think, the U.S. airports are all experiencing that. I'll be curious to see how that plays out, frankly, globally with a big duty-free business, so many of my international colleagues are hugely reliant on those revenues. And as e-commerce becomes more prevalent globally and easier to get your packages delivered, what does that do to the revenue balance there?
Yeah, I'm curious. Do you have any guesses on where that does shake out and what are a couple of amenities, services, et cetera, that are popping up around airports and/or CVG specifically that are among your favorite new additions to offerings?
Yeah, so where it goes, I don't know. I'm looking, I want to listen to the rest of your podcast and learn from my colleagues, right? Because I'm not sure where some of them are, particularly around the merchandise, around the retail, where people think that's going. I think... Yeah, it'll be interesting to figure out what we're doing. You're going to see a lot more food offerings opening up here shortly at CVG. We also have a package on the street right now for 8 additional locations, but we just opened a Wendy's. We opened a new bourbon place. We'll be opening a Skyline, which is a favorite chili place here. Again, it's trying to give people what they want and make sure that, you know, we take good care of them.
Bourbon and chili, you're talking
bourbon
about
and chili. Oh, and you can get your graters here too already at Cincinnati Airport. I don't know, for your listeners to know, graters ice cream, the most delicious ice cream ever. So you can, the troika here of ice cream, chili, and bourbon.
I'm gonna have to book myself some layover time in Cincinnati to
please do.
Just walk through the airport.
Yeah, please do. Well, and it's interesting. The other thing, I think trends that you're seeing popping up are a lot of like personal self-care, right? The spas, the pampering kind of services. I think maybe post-pandemic people are taking a lot, like making sure to do a lot more self-care. So I think that's something you're seeing both in the U.S. and a lot of really high-end lounges internationally with all those services in them.
Sure. Yep. No, the lounge, the lounge piece is evolving at massive speed right now, no doubt. What's missing from the airport? What would you like to see get into the airport that hasn't happened yet?
For my airport specific, I'll tell you the big thing top of mind is a childcare center. I really, you know, is a 24/7 childcare center. Where people can have good quality childcare. In my dream world, I'd love to couple that with a nice wellness center, so we can have anybody on campus then would have access to quality childcare, know their child is well cared for, and if I can make them into healthy little people while we're doing that. That would be the primary thing I'm focused on now. So hats off to my colleagues in Pittsburgh and Christina for opening their childcare center. And I'm going to be hot on their trail of trying to get that happening here.
I was just going to say, I saw recently that that opened in Pittsburgh. That is something that I've been writing about this industry for about 18 years now. And back at the beginning of that time, that's something you never would have heard about. But I guess that not only helps with making sure that the kids can stay safe, but that's also a benefit from a staffing perspective. Is that kind of where you're looking for at that from?
100%. It's a huge issue to address workforce shortages, right? We started here, it was before the pandemic, is Amazon was coming in and seeing that workforce was going to be stressed as it was. We started something called the Strategic Workforce Collaborative. So we get together the HR professionals from all of the various 70 plus tenants here, and they meet on a quarterly basis. And one of the first meetings we had with them was to identify certain pain points or barriers to employment, one of which was public transportation, and the second was childcare. So we've worked with our local transit provider and really addressed some of the public transit issues in terms of availability and schedules and direct routes. And then this childcare issue is, I think, a tough one to tackle, because I would really love to see it be 24 hours, 7 days a week, so everybody can get here and work, right? DHL's operation is solely at night, right? So these people show up at 10 or 11 at night and don't leave till, you know, between 4 and 6 in the morning. Well, without good childcare, you're missing a huge segment of the population that can be available to work. So,
sure. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. Candace, you've referenced the pandemic a couple times. You received your Director of the Year award at the conference in Denver in 2020. About 3 days later, the industry basically about shut down for much of the, well, didn't shut down, but I mean, passenger traffic largely went away for quite a bit of time after. And we're starting to see maybe a small spike in cases again here. How did that experience change the industry, and how prepared are you now versus 2020 in the event that something like that, hopefully never on that level again, but if something like that was to come up again.
Yeah, so relative to the impact here, right, I think maybe twofold. One certainly was the health impact and the way people thought about their own physical and personal safety. The other was sort of the business impact. I think because we had gone through that dehubbing and gone through all of that disruption years before, we here at CVG managed the business impact well. You know, I told folks kind of, because we had gone through and had been so heavily focused on carrier, our business was already diversified. You know, we had a great cargo business. We had the passenger business. We run a huge non-aeronautical development here, right? We're blessed with 7,700 acres and we've developed a lot of it. And so during the pandemic, those cargo carriers increased operations. So the airfield was in good shape and all of our non-aeronautical tenants paid their rents without any issues. So at least we had from the business side of the house, we were good. Mm-hmm. You know, on the personal safety front, there was a lot of education, of course, done with our folks. Now, I'm going to be different than maybe some of the other folks in the industry or some of the other folks you know. I only sent our administrative staff home for 3 months, right? Our frontline staff was here. They had to work, you know, on site, right? Because we're a face-to-face business here at the airport. You have to be here. And there are customers you have to serve and there are runways that have to be cleared, right?
Hard to fly a plane virtually.
There you go, right? And so July of 2020, I said to our folks, like, everybody back in the office and we'll figure this out. And we came in on AB shifts. We wore masks. We handled things. But I still feel very adamant that people need to be here because it contributes to this esprit de corps. So I think going forward, hopefully people have been vaccinated. People understand the benefit of washing your hands, wearing masks if you're not feeling well, etc. And it'll be continued education. But look, this is a resilient industry, and heaven forbid something happens again, hopefully never to that extent, I think we'll certainly bounce back. People want to travel. Goods need to be moved. Business needs to be done, and we'll figure out a way to get it done.
Yeah, I definitely hope it never happens to that level again. It does speak to the resilience of the industry, how quickly it has gotten back to at least something resembling normal here over the last couple of years. As you mentioned, having cargo at the airport probably helped through that. I know that my wife was getting 3 or 4 Amazon packages a day delivered to the front door here during some of the pandemic. So,
exactly. You know, those poor folks, you know, between Amazon and DHL, I think they were going to take a restraining order out on me because I kept sending them like fan mail all the time, telling them how much I loved them. I think it was starting to trend to the stalker path, but you know, I was grateful for the work that they were doing, you know, both delivering goods, but also, you know, getting the vaccines out, like really handling this globally for us. It was, they did a tremendous job.
Yeah. Is it your sense that the industry as a whole is a little better prepared for something like this to come up again? I mean, I don't necessarily see the markings on the floor anymore about everybody's got to stand 6 feet apart and all of that, but should something like this arise, is it you know, better prepared for than it was the first time around?
I don't know. I hope so, right? I'm an eternal optimist. But here's where I'm disappointed.
Okay.
All of the disparate regulations, we couldn't get our act together relative to like a, you know, uniform way of handling vaccine passports. You know, there were so many different like transnational issues. It made it hard for people to travel and understand what they needed to do. And there could have been, I think, a better cooperation. I'm hopeful that some of those conversations continue to happen. I know they're happening at ICAO. at the international level. And I would hope that all of those various leaders of the industry segments continue to have these conversations on how to better and more effectively communicate and come together around common language, methodology, handling things. And that, to me, should be the key takeaway.
Okay. Okay. So there's we're probably better able to weather something like that, but there's still work that could make it an easier transition.
Well, you know, look, for everybody who works in an airport, you know, if you have an incident or something happens, you always do an after action brief. You always sit down and say, hey, what happened? How could we have either avoided this, prevented it? How did we handle it? Where could we have improved? Mm-hmm. And I just think that needs to definitely happen. And I'm hopeful that people are sitting around the table looking at the pandemic, not just being so thankful it's over, but saying, all right, what could we have done better in response? Here's where things went really well, and here's where things went off the rails. Because that's what our industry is supposed to do, to be safe and secure and sustainable. You need to look at look back on what you can tweak for the future.
Sure, sure. Makes sense. All right, Candace, what would you, anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't hit on?
I'm super excited about all the bright leaders I see coming. I'm super excited about the next iteration of aviation, where things go with AAM. I think there's so much good stuff happening that I want us to lean into it in the future. I always say we are in the most innovative, exciting industry. Like, you know, you talked about getting on the plane and the kind of the discomfort and the, I marvel at flying every time I get on a plane. Like I sit there and go like, wow, I'm in this metal tube and like, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm going to wake up on the other side of the world, right? It is an amazing adventure. And I think we just have to approach the future with that sort of sense of awe and wonder on how we can keep improving this.
Is there, from Cincinnati's perspective, is there anything in the works or anything you'd like to see along those lines that could make that experience even more awe-inspiring or better?
Well, we're doing a lot of work in advanced air mobility, trying to figure out. We just launched a vertiport master plan, figuring out what that might look like. We are never going to say no to any innovation, technology, new way of doing things here. Like, we are a culture of yes. And if we're going to fail, we'll fail fast, we'll fail forward, and we'll give it a try, right? And so, you know, I think this is an industry that hopefully will continue to do that, you know, because when the Wright brothers and their sister Catherine, by the way, started out, like, you know, it was a crazy adventure. And we have to embrace whatever's next.
I appreciate your getting the plug in for Sister Catherine. My daughter would approve.
Good. Well, yeah, you know, it's again, it, you know, this industry is being very inclusive of women now, particularly, you know, in North America, and we're going to try to take that on the global stage. So it's we have to be all inclusive, right? It's this industry has been very good to all of us, and the more people we can bring into it, you know, from a, you know, be it a gender, be it, you know, whatever sort of other issues, you know, accessibility issues, people of differing abilities, etc., we should be welcoming and inclusive.
Absolutely. Great words of wisdom. Candace McGraw, CEO of Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. Thank you very much for taking some time and sharing your thoughts.
Thanks for having me.